Today we'll be reading Isaiah 9, verses 2 through to 7. So, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. And now we'll pray for David. Heavenly Father, as we boldly come before you, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability to be able to come here and worship you and praise you. And we just pray now for David coming up to speak, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be upon him and that our hearts and minds will be open to receiving his message and be firmly fixed upon you, Jesus. Jesus, in your holy, beautiful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tom, and welcome to those in the building and those watching online. And as I've just seen people arriving, I just wanted to say a special welcome to a few people that I've not seen for a while, are kind of back in town, as it were. So I just want to say, Mike and Nelly, it's so good to see you back from Brazil. Really fantastic. Welcome back. Really great to have you here. And Josh, back from London, it's great to have you here with us as well. And I just noticed Carol, so good to have you back from up north, Carol, and lovely to see you there as well. And there was someone else I just saw, and it then just escaped me. Jilly from over in Holland. Really lovely to have you, Jilly, here. Can we just say, Jilly, welcome back too. So good to see you all, and Carol and Josh. And if you're here visiting and this is your first time, a very warm welcome to you. We have good news. We have good news that we want to share with people this Christmas time. And we're going to dive into this passage to discover something of that. But I want to start with just some really practical advice for Christmas shopping this year. Are you ready? Some of you might need to hear this. There's a little phrase, buy cheap, buy twice. Or as my grandmother used to remind me time and again when I would, go shopping, she would remind me to think about not just the price, but the price per use. So if you only use it once, that's very expensive. If you use something many times, that makes a lot more sense. And the price, as it were, per use comes down. Now, I need to explain that in our house at the moment, we have a shortage of phone chargers. In fact, that's not strictly speaking true. We have a shortage of working phone chargers. The ones that work really well have gone off with my oldest daughter to university, and the other ones tend to get taken by my other kids, whether to their friend's house and left there, or onto buses and then lent there. It tends to be that the ones that don't work, like this one, and it's actually not always as simple as that. They sometimes work. They kind of temporarily look like they start to work and then they don't. Those ones stay in our house. And so we need more. And the question comes, do we buy, and this is a debate in our house, do we buy more of the cheap imitation ones that cost half price or even less than half the price of the real deal? Or do we get the expensive ones? And in many ways, the cheap imitations sound great because they hardly cost a thing. But if they don't work, it is really frustrating. And actually, you end up having to buy another or get the real deal. And as we talk about our theme of peace this morning, I have a question for us. Are you searching for the real deal or for a cheap imitation? This Christmas, my longing is that you and others around you would know the real deal, would find real peace, not some cheap imitation. You know, we've been lighting our Advent candles these last two Sundays. We've been hearing in our reading that first line that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and these lights represent the light that's come into our world this Christmas. Last week we heard about hope, this week about peace, and we're looking at this theme of peace is coming. And maybe you're thinking, yes, I know it's coming. If I can just make it through the next couple of weeks and all the chaos of Christmas shopping, getting everything ready for Christmas and all the things that have to be done, then in those wonderful few days between Christmas and New Year, there will be peace, I'm sure, I hope. But right now, peace feels a bit elusive. Maybe more associated with a holiday after Christmas is finished or in the New Year. And in our world as well, as we were lighting the candle, even praying, we are so mindful of places when we think about peace is coming. Maybe you think of places like the Middle East where war continues to rage. Lives in turmoil, a conflict that seems to have been flaring up time and again in history, and once again seems to be at a really bad point. And maybe even as you long for peace in that area, it can feel so elusive. Will it ever come? Maybe you even feel it's unlikely. You read the different sort of possible proposals of what might happen. And so we often use the phrase, don't we? We're hoping for peace, whether for ourselves or someone we love or for a region in the world. We're kind of hoping for peace. But did you notice last week that Jeff, in his wonderful talk on hope, actually ended his talk with the third point was a connection between peace and hope. And it wasn't that we're hoping for peace. It was this. It was that peace is the consequence of hope. Peace is the consequence of hope. And our reading, which Tom read for us, is overflowing and teeming with hope. It talks of a king that will reign on David's throne, this one that we were thinking about in our autumn series, this king whose kingdom was going to have a kind of heir who would have an eternal kingdom. And Isaiah 9 talks about that heir, this king who will reign on David's throne. And it says at the end of verse 7, he will reign over on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. A lot of those carols had that forever road. We sung it, didn't it? And he will reign forevermore, forevermore. He's going to reign forever. And look at this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. I mean, that is some guarantee, isn't it? These are these wonderful promises. You know, he's the way maker, the promise keeper. He keeps his promises, and this will happen. Hallelujah. And so we have hope, and the consequence of that sure and certain hope, not wishful thinking hope, sure and certain hope, is that it brings peace. You see, the peace is connected to the hope. The hope of what? Well, this is the phrase that I want to really zero in on to kind of help us see this morning. Really, we're going to be just looking at one line in our reading this morning, and it's this line. In Isaiah 9, verse 7, the first even part of that verse, it says this, of the increase or of the greatness, some translations have different words there, of the greatness or increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Should we read that together? Isaiah 9, 7a, as it is on the screen, with the little brackets bit as well, of the greatness or increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. How wonderful is that? And so as we think then about that phrase, as we think about this kingdom that will endure forever and outlast every other kingdom, as this passage not just talks about a peace and the Prince of Peace, but talks about a reign and the government that will be on his shoulders, I want to ask the question, what does that mean for our experience today of peace? And this is really the simple phrase I want to keep coming back to this morning. And it's this. For peace to rule, Christ has to reign. For peace to rule, Christ has to reign. So I want to ask this morning, do you want his peace? Do you want his peace? I want to dig into this little phrase by thinking about, firstly, wanting his peace. And I think our instinct probably is to say, yeah, of course, David. Of course. Of course we all want his peace. But I wonder, is our picture of peace his peace? Is it, you know, when we talk about peace, is it the same as when Jesus talks about peace? And I think actually there's a lot of confusion here. You know, I think sometimes when I think about, and even sometimes use the phrase peace, you know, I'm thinking about my picture of peace. And I want to explain here, sometimes I think it's our picture rather than Jesus' picture that we've got in mind. So, you know, my peace looks like this. You know, no interruptions. The music that I like being played in the house. You know, nothing that I need to do. So usually that's, you know, a peace that I more associate with not working. And it would be helpful if it would be sunny. I really prefer the sun to the rain and clouds and cold. A warm is good too. So if I had those things, I can imagine being peaceful. And it's kind of peace on my conditions. A bit like we're negotiating a peace deal. You know, a truce. To say, okay, I can imagine I'll have peace if I've got those things. If I've only got 4 out of the 5, then maybe I'll only have 4/4 of the peace that I'm, you know, 4/4 doesn't make sense. 4/5, that's better math, of the peace that I might associate with it. And if it's only one of those things and there's all chaos going around, then no chance I can really have peace, maybe just a slither. And so we talk about our peace like that. But God's peace is not a negotiated peace. It's not a kind of truce where, okay, we'll do a bit like this and a bit like that. Okay, what are your conditions? Okay, we'll see if we can work something out there. That's not God's peace. And I want to say this morning, God's peace is far, far, far better than my peace or your peace. But that's not the only thing that we kind of get confused at. We also get confused not just about our peace that we want, as it were, but we often look at other pictures of peace and we think, well, that peace, I maybe want that peace, their peace, or the picture of peace in that kind of photo. So, you know, we used to have, well, there we go. This is my daughter said that she found a great Instagram feed of AI-generated beautiful pictures of kind of cozy winter scenes. So you can put in, and this is a AI-generated photo of, you know, a peaceful, cozy winter scene. So let me just ask you, is it real? Oh, wow, there's not many of you who knew that. It's an AI-generated picture of a winter scene. Is it real? No, does it look real? There we go. And this happens in all kinds of ways, even before AI. I mean, way back when I was a teenager, we did not have AI, but we did have, as a family, times when we needed for, my parents were missionaries and they had lots of people who supported them, prayed for them, and so we had to send a family photo. And, you know, in the times when me and my sisters were kind of teenagers, we didn't always like the idea of having a family photo that got sent out to loads of people. So we used to try and do a kind of a picture of us all as a family, smiling. That always goes down well. But it didn't always work out like that. And I remember one time, we went to a place, took photo after photo, the argument started, and eventually we got our picture, and it looked so peaceful. And yet that wasn't our experience of it. And you have seen many photos like that. They may not be AI generated. But you look at that holiday snap. You look at that person's window into their house. You look at what they've put on their Christmas newsletter. And you think, oh, if my life had a peace like they seem to be showing in that picture. Oh, if only I could have that peace. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, particularly in our world of massive comparisons and social media doctored images and everyone trying to present their best kind of picture, don't be taken in by that peace. That peace is often not even real. But God's peace is so much better than that peace. God's peace is a peace that actually is a real peace, a peace that actually isn't about just the circumstances you might be in. And this is the other really interesting thing. In a wonderful article that Helen Wheeler sent to me this week, as she knew was thinking about this theme of peace, this article said this, we got the quote up on the screen, Christy Warden wrote, "Peace is not so much about the absence of something as it is about its presence." You see, the cheap imitations of peace major on the absence. You know, if you could just have some time without that person, and if you could just have some time without war, and if you could just have some time without noise, if you could just have some time without that problem, or if the weather could be without rain and without cold, then there would be peace. But a wise person once said, the absence of war does not predicate the presence of peace. And you see, God's peace is so much more wonderful than that. God's peace is not so much about the absence of something, but about a presence. God's peace is about His presence. His presence that changes everything. His peace is connected to His presence. And that's why He can say peace in John 14. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. And so God's peace is about His presence, His coming. That is what Isaiah 9 is all about. Verse 6, it's about His coming. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's why at Advent, as we celebrate His first coming, we also anticipate His second coming, which so many of our carols are also about. You see, Advent is marked by this kind of theme of waiting. You know, we're waiting to celebrate on the 25th of December, but we're waiting in a much more wonderful way for the return of Christ, the King who will make everything new, whose peace will reign, as we were singing in that carol, across all the earth. You know, hush, you voice, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing, because He's coming. So that article that Helen Wheeler sent me said this. So while we wait, what do we tell our kids about peace? What do we say to each other, let alone to kids, in a world that is riddled with injustice, oppression, inequality, war, hatred, division, about peace? What do we say? Well, we say, remember, of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. We say, for peace to rule, Christ has to reign. What do we say? For peace to rule, Christ has to reign. And so if you want His peace, you need to welcome His reign. If you want His peace, you need to welcome His reign. You know, this passage, time and again, talks about this one who kind of reigns, who kind of defeats his enemies and shatters the rod of the oppressor. And kind of verse 4, this one who comes and says the government will be on his shoulders, this one who will reign on David's throne and whose reigning will go on forever. And this reign and this peace are experienced in kind of two ways. We sometimes need to help separate them so we can manage our expectations wisely. Otherwise, I think there ends up with confusion. Confusion about, is his peace and his reign really possible now? Because first we need to see about the breadth of his peace, if you like, in our world. You know, we long for it, we pray for it, and rightly so. Jesus said to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray his reign would extend, even this Christmas in our city, amen? May your reign, may your kingdom come on earth as in heaven, because his reign will bring his peace to people. And that is what we long for as we pray for the Middle East. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, it's the Advent prayer at the end of the Bible that is sometimes just known as Maranatha. The word that's translated, come, Lord Jesus. And it's about this one who in verse 5 will one day, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. It will happen. It will come. And so we cannot just have a kind of vague wishful thinking. Maybe, I don't know, it will ever be possible for peace in the Middle East. It will come. And it will only come as Christ reigns. And he will one day come and reign and end all war. Like Tim was preaching on that wonderful Remembrance Sunday service from Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. The be still is like the word he kind of spoke over the waves. Peace, be still. And it's like you've got to put down your weapons now because the king has spoken. Peace will come. And so we pray for it in our world. We work for it knowing that's what's coming. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. The apostle Paul wrote, if it is possible in Romans 12, 15, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Everyone. But he says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, because it's not always possible. And we need to realize that and see that in our world. It will come one day, but now it's not always possible. But in our hearts, not so much talking about the breadth, but the depth, you know, the depth of peace in our hearts. Well, that is possible now. At any time, at any moment, you don't have to wait till Christmas to receive his peace in your heart. Even now, you and I can experience his peace. But we need to remember that his peace does not equal comfort. It doesn't mean things are easy. In fact, it often is a peace that comes amidst the difficulties and the struggle. It's a peace that you can know in hospital. It's a peace you can know in a nursing home. It's a peace you can know when there's chaos all around you. It's a peace you can know before Christmas when you're trying to serve the whole family, get everything ready, do things for others, plan for a nativity experience. It's a peace you can know in amidst the struggles and challenges. And it comes as we say, Lord, would you reign? Lord, would you reign in me today? Would you reign in this situation and circumstance? I remember one Christmas when I wasn't well and couldn't be at some of the services. I was kind of really kind of in inner turmoil. I remember Amy was also unwell and we were listening to some music together, a Wren Collective song. And I remember the words really struck me because it said this. It said, it's only in surrender that I'm truly free. And in that moment, I remember just thinking, Lord, yeah, help me just surrender to your will. Your will be done for me, for the church. And it was amazing the peace that flooded my heart in that moment as I surrendered. As I said, Lord, your reign. I want your reign. I welcome it. I long for it. I need it. I want to be in you. You know, it's the unsurrendered areas of my life which lead to stress and tension, to a lack of peace. And so I want to ask you, are there unsurrendered areas of your life? Places where you're not welcoming Jesus' reign, and maybe areas which are then robbing you of a deeper experience of His wonderful peace today. You know, that Advent prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus," is a great prayer for us today. And it has in the middle of it the word Lord. You see, Jesus is Lord. If we want Him to come, He must be Lord, because He is Lord. If you want peace to reign, He must reign. The Prince of Peace. So I love how the Apostle Paul says, you know, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. He wants it to rule in our hearts. There's something of allowing His reign. And because we're called to peace, isn't that a wonderful phrase? Let Him reign in your heart afresh today. Sometimes in kind of fear, we keep Him out of what kind of king is He really going to be? We have such bad models of leadership often. And yet this King is the King of light, verse 2 of Isaiah 9. This is a King who brings joy. We're going to think more about that next week, verse 3. This is a King who, verse 4, kind of shatters the things that oppress us. He sets us free. He's a rescuer. That's our King. This is a King who, as we're going to be thinking more in a couple of weeks, He loves us so much that He was willing to die on the cross for the areas where I resist His reign, where I go my way rather than His. He comes and says, David, I'm dying for that, that my light might shine in your darkness, that you might know my grace and forgiveness. Now then, turn, repent, believe that my way is better. And He calls us not just to tell others this good news, the King has come, repent and believe, but He calls us to remind ourselves in those areas where we sometimes resist Him, repent and believe today, to say, God, would you come and reign, and as you reign, help. You don't need to sort out those broken parts of your life before you say, come and reign. You invite His reign, and then He sorts out the broken parts as you do what He wants. I love that reading. Peace, perfect peace. There is no peace like the perfect peace of our Almighty God, of King Jesus. And it goes in that, and it talks about as we do His will, we find His rest, His peace. Brothers and sisters, in our lives, where do we need to say, Lord, would you have your will? Lord, reign over my finances this Christmas. Lord, reign over my relationships this Christmas. Lord, reign over my thoughts. Lord, reign over what I watch and what I eat and what I drink. Lord, reign over my work. Lord, reign over my family, my church family. Reign, Lord, over my life. Reign over my Monday as well as over my Sunday. Lord, come and reign. The Lord Jesus is inviting you and I to step, as it were, into His kingdom, into His sphere of reign and peace. He very famously said in John 16:33, "In me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world." He's inviting you and I, come and find our peace in Him. So remember, what's our main thing this morning? For peace to rule, Christ has to reign. Should we say that together? For peace to rule, Christ has to reign. And so where do you lack peace right now? Where do you need to surrender afresh, or maybe for the first time, to His rule? Do you want His peace?
will welcome his reign. I'm just going to invite the band to come back up, and we're going to have some time just to be still. To think about those questions and areas in our life. And at that point when you feel like, yeah, I want Jesus to be king of every part of my life. Maybe you've been thinking about one particular area, but you say, Lord, I want you to be king over that. I want you to reign, and I want your peace. You know, like when a king comes into the room, your natural response is to stand. I want to invite you in this time of stillness, whenever you're ready, why don't you stand and say, King Jesus, I welcome your reign. I ask for your peace. So Lord, just in this moment of stillness, even before we sing our next song, we just pray, come Holy Spirit, come Lord Jesus. We want your peace, Lord. And so we welcome your reign.